Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Happy Friday, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Mint on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I love weather games when I'm not actively rooting for a team, Josh.
I love them really regardless. Do. All of them should be treated equally.
No, when we get a big weather game,
mm-hmm.
I know a lot of Bills fans like them. I can't stand them. I don't like any sort of outside elements really causing issues. But as a neutral fan watching last night's game, Pittsburgh and Cleveland, all for it.
It also played into the fact that it was the first snow game of the year.
Yeah.
And that Jameis Winston was just like, this is great. Playing in the snow is delightful, I think he said at one point. Like
he
said it was magical.
He's preaching sermons before the game. Just yeah. I mean, the widest smile ever.
The person that was interviewing him was like, hey, this is AFC North football, baby. And he's like, yeah, this is magical. And I'm like,
okay.
Never change, Jameis. Please never change.
He's interesting.
He's great. And he won. Like, he looked pretty good.
He's not an objectively good quarterback, but he's good enough to like make your team kind of fun.
Yeah. He's like
your team is.
He's a fun, you know, you're starting a rebuild quarterback.
Jameis Winston, you have a rookie. He's a little raw, so you don't want to throw him in the.
Let's get Jameis Winston in here. Bring up the vibes. He'll teach the rookie some life lessons. He'll help him do some soul searching. And
he
then
has vibes.
He'll be fine. Like,
that's what he is. He's vibes.
Yeah. No, for sure. 100% vibes. 99% vibes. 1% skill.
18-27 last night. 219. Did throw a pick.
Did you see?
Had a rushing touchdown though.
Did you see on his 2-point conversion that his like headpiece or his earpiece from his headset was like dangling in front of his face as he's throwing a 2-point conversion.
Barely cares.
He just like flicks his head and then throws it.
Barely cares.
And I'm like, man.
He's sort of like the perfect quarterback I'd want to watch on Thursday Night Football because either way, I'm going to love the performance because it could be like big. He's making huge throws, 300 yards, what have you, or last night's snow game. Like he's dealing in the snow, hitting Jerry Jeudy everywhere.
Yeah. Jerry Jeudy has gotten the biggest bump since Amari Cooper has left.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Or he's going to throw 4 picks. 2 of them will be returned for touchdowns, and you're questioning his existence as a football player entirely.
You're questioning it because he'll also throw 4 touchdowns with the 4 interceptions.
That's right. That's right.
Like he'll throw 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and probably fumble a ball too.
No meat is left on the bone with him.
No.
You're going to get a full game out of him.
He gives you every stat you could think of. Every stat a quarterback can record, he'll do it in one game.
Yeah.
Like,
ultimately, though,
everything.
Ultimately, though, as a Bills fan, who should we have actually been rooting for last night?
The Browns.
The Browns?
Yeah. Partially because the Steelers are annoying and the Steelers are the worst, but also because, you know, you don't want any... You want that division to just fight within itself.
You want to cannibalize itself.
Like, you don't... The Browns do not affect you. The Bengals basically don't affect you. Like, they're... Mm-hmm. I saw a good description of the Bengals the other day. It is... Their season's dead, but I can't quit them, but their season is totally dead. That's how I feel about them, because it's like, yeah, the Bengals are the Bengals, and they're going to figure out a way to do it and get into the playoffs, but they're also not. But they also might. And if they do, then that's terrifying, because I'm one that hasn't gotten over the Bengals scar tissue yet, and I'm just like, I need the Bills to not play them in the playoffs this year.
I'm good now, but yeah, there was a little while there where they were, it was not the Chiefs, it was the Bengals for me for the longest time was the team I did not want to play.
Right, because you never played good against the Bengals. You always played good against the Chiefs and just got unlucky, but you never played good against the Bengals. But my point is you can have the Bengals and the Browns really help you out these last few weeks here by just taking Baltimore and even Pittsburgh out of the equation. Because if you keep both of them just – if everything else on the outside kind of keeps them at bay, except for the Kansas City week against Pittsburgh – it's the only time I want Pittsburgh to win. Then you definitely have the two seed on lock. I mean, I think you already do, to be honest. But
it's getting close. I mean, I think Pittsburgh losing last night did
right,
help that.
Last night really helped that out. But you know, I don't want any potential of like something stupid to happen where the Bills are all of a sudden the three seed. You know,
I so badly though want Baltimore to be the five seed, Pittsburgh be the four.
Oh, just play each other,
and that's your wild card matchup.
Yeah, that'd be really great. But then the Bills would play.
Well, if they're still the two seed, it's either like the Chargers or Denver. Currently sitting here right now,
it is Denver right now.
Yeah,
but
Baltimore and the Chargers, by the way, play Monday Night Football. So if we're being honest, with what I want, I kind of want Baltimore to win that game.
Yeah, I do too. Because you're right, you want Pittsburgh and Baltimore to just beat each other up.
Well, also, I kind of know what I'm going to get with Lamar Jackson against Pittsburgh, which is not great.
Yeah.
And then just from years, I sort of know what I'm going to get in the postseason from Lamar Jackson, which is not great. And if I can just get rid of the Ravens entirely, wild card round done, and I've got to deal with a Pittsburgh team, which, they're feisty, they're good. They also do drop games. They're not entirely, as a team, impressive. I mean, George Pickens is awesome, and their defense is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like my defense can handle Russell Wilson and George Pickens. Good. Perfect. And then Denver, I've mentioned it a lot in terms of what I would want to see in the wild card round if they were to finish as the two seed. Give me the rookie quarterback making his first playoff start on the road. Give me that guy.
You think the Dolphins make a run here?
What do they have left on their schedule? They've got to get past Indianapolis and then now currently Denver to get into the playoffs. But this week they've got New England, which is going to be one of the 1 o'clock games that I think I'm probably going to be checking out.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see Drake May a little bit more and all that stuff. At Green Bay in December, end of November, but basically December.
It's the dead of winter in Green Bay right now.
Yep. Home against the Jets, at Houston, home against San Francisco, at Cleveland, at the Jets.
That's a tough.
They're also 4-6 already.
That's tough, but it's also not impossible, I feel like, because,
they can have two more losses.
I don't even think
they can
have that.
And that might get them the 7 seed. Maybe.
I don't even think they can have that.
Yep.
I'm like looking at this picture now because obviously we were talking about the Steelers and the Ravens.
Jets are basically dead.
But they are. We were talking about the Steelers and the Ravens there for a bit. But like looking at the picture, the AFC picture, playoff picture as a whole, and I'm just trying to figure out what teams like we should be nervous about because I don't feel nervous about any of them. Like there's obviously like nerves for some of them, just based on like the few things they do have. But other than Kansas City, any other team in the playoff picture right now, I don't know if this is overconfidence from how the Bills have been playing, but I'm just not super worried.
I'm not. I said it yesterday too. It's partially because I think the top part of the AFC has also come down.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bottom, there's really bad, but the bottom I would even argue has kind of come up to like this kind of comfortable medium where we're at in the AFC. I've said it before, and I'll still say it. I do want another shot at Baltimore.
Yeah,
I think
for
their defense is bad. I think the Bills can score with them now.
That Baltimore goes to 7. Like,
no.
You're not going to see – oh, I didn't know if you were saying in the first round.
No. Just okay. Like as a whole, I wouldn't be against having another shot at them. But also, I don't really fear the Chiefs all that much. I think they just need to get in there healthy, and I think they can beat them. They have shown they can beat them multiple times. They just haven't been able to actually do that in the playoffs.
What do you think about the idea of the Chargers overtaking the Chiefs?
I don't think it's going to happen.
You don't think so?
No, the best they can do is split with them in the division.
Right, because they already lost.
Mm-hmm.
And when do they play again?
Well, with the Chargers, I mean, like we mentioned, they got Baltimore this week at home.
Yep.
At Atlanta.
Winnable.
At Kansas City. That's Sunday, December 8th. That's maybe, Sunday Night Football.
Maybe winnable.
I mean, if they go 3-0 here.
Mm-hmm. And then if they beat the Chiefs, that would put the Chiefs at 9-2 in the... That would put the Chargers at 10-3. Well,
yeah, for argument's sake,
for the Chargers
would have 3 losses. Yeah. Chiefs would have 2.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right. That's a better way to look at it because we don't know if any other wins or losses.
Then they finish out with Tampa and Denver at home, and then at New England, at Vegas. I mean,
the last four there, that's very winnable. I mean, maybe not so much Tampa. Denver would get a little dicey sometimes, but the Jets and, or you said Jets or Patriots?
Patriots
and Raiders to finish that out. That's two. That should be two wins right there for the Chargers.
I don't think they'll catch them.
I just wonder because it's not that far off of a possibility. They're only two games back.
Division, obviously the Chiefs are 3-0. The Chargers, though, are 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
So but it's not like they're three losses. They've all been divisional games. It's literally just the Chiefs' loss.
Right. So if the Chargers win against the Chiefs,
they're 3-1
in the
division with both having the road wins. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man, I think it's possible, but it's not likely.
It's not likely, but it is possible. The Chargers, I don't love Jim Harbaugh. That's really my biggest fear.
But he's gotten them at 7-3.
No, that's what I mean. I don't want to really deal with him.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Gotcha.
I think he is already working kind of his known magic there where he gets in and a program gets better, whether it be in college or the pros.
It's immediate.
They're 7-3 now. They've won five of their last six. They've won four in a row. And we just talked about like their end of season run here. Not that bad. I heard Jeremy and Joe talking too about strength of schedule. That's pretty light.
Yeah.
I don't know about the exact numbers, but that's pretty light.
All right. Aside from the Chiefs, rank your nervousness rating for the other current playoff teams. Pittsburgh, Houston, LA, Baltimore, Denver.
All right. Of the current playoff teams in the AFC.
Like the what's the nerve meter? Where are we standing on Pittsburgh? Out of 10.
Oof. Out of 10.
Well, I don't know. Or just rank them among the teams.
I'll rank them among the teams. I think the team I'd most like to play, I've said it, Denver is number one for me. I'd love to play them.
You're bringing me around to that, too. I'm getting more on board with that. Just like, Bo Nix is a great talent, but you're right. He's a rookie quarterback. He'll be on the road. You're bringing me around to that one.
Number two, I'll go Houston.
As in, like, least nervous?
Yeah.
Okay. I can get on board with that one, too, because
they haven't looked awesome really all
showed
year.
You? Yeah, what have they really shown you?
And the Bills were able to hang with them on the road when Allen was going 9-for-30 passing.
Right.
They didn't have Khalil Shakir. Keon Coleman's still young. They didn't have Amari Cooper. They now have all of that, including Keon Coleman just, again, marinating a little bit more in his rookie year. Mm-hmm. I like them a lot in that potential matchup, in a potential rematch there. Then I would go Pittsburgh, because we're leaving the Chiefs out here.
Yes, right? We're not worried about the Chiefs.
I'd go Pittsburgh then next. Their defense is freaky. But I think you can handle them well. I think so. Look, are you going to put up 38 against them? Not this year. I don't think so. They're playing very, very well. But as I mentioned, the Bills, mainly McDermott and Babbage's system, I think they can do enough to Russell Wilson to frustrate him. They also do very well against number one wide receivers.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see how they matched up against George Pickens. Because after that, if he falls away,
right.
I don't necessarily know how they would do. And if they wanted to be a team that kept running the ball, even though they're down, cool.
Yeah.
You're playing right into what the Bills want you to do then.
I'm going to put Baltimore there.
Okay.
Because I'm a little bit less nervous. I'm more nervous about Pittsburgh than I am Baltimore, just because Pittsburgh, like you were just saying, right? If you take away George Pickens, what do they have on offense? I'm not worried about the offense. I'm worried about the defense, because the defense this year for Pittsburgh has been pretty good. I mean, they've won games where they've just kicked field goals.
Yeah, of the playoff teams right now, they have allowed the least amount of points, 186. Yeah,
that's the one thing that scares me about them, because they played some very good teams and held them to very little points. The most points they've allowed this year...
I'm sorry, the Chargers are number one, Steelers are two. We'll get to the Chargers in a second.
Regardless, the most points allowed this year by the Steelers was against the Colts in week four. At 27. And on average, they've kept teams under 20.
Yep.
For the majority of the games. There's a few games that are over 20.
Atlanta's held to 10.
There's Denver another 6, game.
The Chargers 10.
Yeah.
Colts 27, you mentioned. Dallas 20.
They did give up 20 against the Commanders, or 27 against the Commanders, too. But still, there's something about that defense that I can't get past. Whereas with the Ravens, their defense is very suspect, and in reality, all they have is Derrick Henry. I'm saying that lightly, because they do have weapons at wide receiver, but Lamar Jackson has never really figured out how to use that in the playoffs. I mean, we saw last year against the Chiefs. The Ravens switched their entire identity against the Chiefs and started to go passing. And it worked for a little bit, but then it just fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, nothing has changed enough for me in their passing game for them to scare me that way. So I just look at the two teams and which one just wins stupid games in stupid ways. And it's the Steelers for me. Yeah. And that's what makes me more nervous about them.
Next up for me, I would go Baltimore is the second most nervous, okay. quote unquote.
Again, so that's our only difference then.
Yeah. For me, just with Baltimore, there is always that sort of Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson fear. Jackson figures it out in the playoffs. Henry's always been a good playoff performer. Mm-hmm. And yeah, look, I'd love another shot at him, but it would also be one of those, yeah, but I'd like that as late as possible. I mean, I'd rather than not be the wild card or even the division round. That's an AFC championship game. It is what it is.
I don't think that ever would be a wild card team just because there's no way that the Broncos leapfrog the Ravens. I just can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the Chargers is the top.
And
just
the Chargers
because
for me, yeah.
It looks like you were just saying, the Jim Harbaugh like effect and everything going on with...
And you talked about Pittsburgh's defense. The Chargers' defense is phenomenal.
Yeah.
They've given up only 27 points once. Last week against the Bengals, as Cincinnati was making a roaring comeback.
Right.
Outside of that, they've let up, before that, 17 points, 10 points, 8 points, 17 points, 16 points.
And not to mention...
17, 23, and 10.
Not to mention the fact that they've actually activated Quentin Johnston and made him into something of a wide receiver when before he could barely catch a football.
He's doing it right.
And I'm not saying he's perfect by any means, but he can... Once again, catch a football.
Their potentially biggest issue, they're not scoring a ton.
Yeah, that's true.
They're 18th in points.
But their defense is holding teams off, which is that's kind of what their whole MO is if you look at their coordinators along with Jim Harbaugh. Like it's Jim Harbaugh head coach, obviously. Greg Roman is their offensive coordinator. He just runs the ball. And still they're getting good passing numbers from Herbert.
He's performing well.
Who's their defensive coordinator?
I actually don't know. But for defense, in terms of points allowed, they're averaging under 15 points per game. They're first in the league in that. Funny enough, though, and this is true for a lot of these teams we've seen, for yards per
Jesse
game.
Minter.
All right.
Not sure who he is.
In terms of their yards per game, though, it's a lot like what we saw with the Chiefs and Bills.
Mm-hmm.
They're not averaging points, but those two are. But for the Chiefs, or for the Chargers, it's... They're 19th in passing yards per game, 12th in rushing yards per game. Time of possession, they're 22nd. Third down efficiency, they're 16th. And yet, they're kind of just getting it done. A lot of that, though, due to Herbert, he's only thrown one pick, 13 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
J.K. Dobbins, 8 rushing touchdowns.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, look what Greg Roman has done with that running game. J.K. Dobbins.
Yep.
Right? Like, J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards.
I don't love that defense. Now, with all that being said, the Bills went up against one of the better defenses in football who hadn't given up more than 28 points in like 38 games, and they put 30 on them.
Yeah.
So,
and that
the Bills have also done this to good defenses where they're like, nah, we are still the Bills, which is a comfortable feeling to have.
But it's Jim Harbaugh in the playoffs, and that's the kind of nerve-wracking thing.
It's who I do not want to play, though, in the first round. The case. I don't want to play them in the first round at all. I wouldn't want to play Baltimore in the first round.
Again, that's another team, though, that I don't think you'd ever have to worry about in the first round. They would have to have a monumental collapse to get down to seven. And then also Denver would have to have a crazy, crazy run to go up. You know, so it is, I mean, sure, it's possible, right? Like we saw last night, the Browns beat the Steelers, and that was, nobody had that.
Yeah.
Right.
I will say real quick on Denver, though, they are actually second in points allowed per game. 16
points allowed?
Points allowed. They're 16.6 points allowed per game. That is also a very good defense.
I thought you meant like they allow, never mind. I went the opposite direction. I thought you were saying they're second in most points allowed or something like that.
No, I mean, like their defense has also been awesome.
Yeah, and that's a lot on Patrick Surtain.
Mm-hmm.
He's been incredible.
They're first in sacks, 39.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's on their defense?
Right? Like, it's what is happening here? Jonathan Franklin Myers at 5. Is it Zach Allen? He's got 5 as well.
I had no idea that they were that good on defense.
Cooper, he's got 6.5.
Levi Wallace is on their defense.
Mm-hmm. And then actually leading the way, Nick Benito at 9.
9?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
They're kind of getting it done. It's a lot of no-name guys outside of Patrick Surtain, but they're getting it done. Mm-hmm. My big thing there is give me the rookie quarterback on his first playoff start on the road.
And to be fair, too, I mean, all due respect to Cortland Sutton, what else do they have in terms of wide receivers? Right, like in terms of offensive output, what can the Broncos really do to you except for having a few dazzling throws from Bo Nix? You know, it's just it's Again, they really
aren't much in the wide receivers after Sutton. Because then you're getting to like little Jordan Humphreys,
Marvin Mims, Troy Franklin. Troy Franklin, first touchdown last week. He had a touchdown last week. I don't know if it's the first one, though. No, it
was
the second.
Yeah, it was not his first one. His first one was against the Chargers, actually.
Oh, funny. That's funny. He hasn't done
much this year.
The Broncos are like a light version of what the Steelers are to me, where it's like you know you could shut down their offense, but it's the defense that'll give you problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that the Bills couldn't figure out the Steelers' defense, because they did last year. But did T.J. Watt not play in that game last year? He was like kind of hurt. I can't remember.
In the playoff game?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't play.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, that's the thing. Is like him being back and doing what he does right now, that right there is an X factor that would change the game for me.
That gives you some pause, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just... Yeah, I don't know. I like looking at this playoff picture, because the Bills are in this spot where they're very comfortable in terms of they essentially have the AFC East won, right? Yes. I don't know. There's probably some weird avenue where they could still somehow lose it.
Oh, yeah.
But it got to the point Joe brought up yesterday or the other day that you can't even bet it anymore on a betting site.
Oh, really?
That he saw anyway. You can't, like, there's certain sites that you can't even bet who's going
to
win.
It's going to have to be something, like, something has to happen this week for it to be like, okay, now there's, like, maybe a somewhat realistic
2% chance instead of a 0.5% chance, right? And I'm not trying to be too cocky here, but it's like, we haven't really seen the Bills in this situation before, where the division is completely locked down. You are essentially just battling for the one seed, and if you can't get that, then, well, at least you're in the playoffs, and you're
Not in recent years, at least. I mean, 2020, I think they kind of ran away with it.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think. I mean, how were we feeling in 2020? Because there were still those like back and forth
euphoric
wins. And yes, we were. But there were still those moments where you're like, oh, whoa, what's that? But like now you're not feeling that way really about the Bills. Like it's been very
consistent. I don't know about you, man. In 2020, it was euphoric. They were whooping teams.
They were. Oh, yeah. No, okay. I'm looking at the season again.
2020, they were annihilating teams. It's been 22 and 23 where it was like,
21 and 22.
21, 22.
23 was this nail biter of a, oh man, Miami has to collapse. And oh, look, they're going to do it.
Yep. 21, they had a rough start. Ultimately, it's a Tampa Bay overtime loss that, in a sense, kind of, I guess, for a lot of people, sort of fixed them.
Yeah.
And then they go on a run to finish out the year.
I was thinking of 2021 when you brought up 2020.
Yeah, they finish out the year in a 4-game win streak. And then, of course, we have the perfect game.
Yep.
And then 13 seconds. 22. They ultimately go, I believe, 13-3 there. This, though, of course, does end with a lot of people thinking they kind of ran out of gas, quote-unquote. The Cincinnati game.
The DeMar Hamlin
obviously
game.
Goes the way it does with DeMar Hamlin. And then, I argued that they ran out of gas there. And then 23, that was, again, another year where it was a little bit more stressful than you'd perhaps like. They were 6-6 after, funny enough, an overtime loss to Philadelphia. They go on the bye week, and then they win every game in December, and then win the wild card round, like we mentioned, against Pittsburgh before losing to the Chiefs.
Yay.
So, I mean, they've been in the spot before, mainly in 20, and then you can argue technically in 22.
Kind of.
But 22, that was closer to they ran out of gas. 22 was one of the years they had a very, very early bye week.
Yeah, it was week 7.
Which is something I've been looking at this team post-bye and into December and how good they are. In 22, their bye week was, let me grab it here.
Week 7.
It was week 7.
Yeah, I've got to pull
it's
up right
very
here.
Very early.
Yeah, they beat Green Bay out of the bye week. I remember that game.
6-0
out I remember that game very, very well, because it was kind of one of those ones where it's almost like every game this year where it starts out slow and then the Bills just kind of take over.
Yeah. The McDermott and the Bills have been incredibly good out of the bye, 6-0
but then
his career.
The next 2 weeks after that, it was the Allen elbow injury and then the stupid finish against Minnesota.
So
stupid game.
They drop both those games. They then, though, go on a run.
The snow game.
6 in a row. Then, of course, the ultimately canceled Bengals game because of DeMar Hamlin. Then they beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
Although even that Patriots game, they had the kick return by Nyheim Hines. And they only went 35-23.
Yeah,
they weren't putting up a great performance all around. That season got really weird.
Tiring. Like it was
exhausting.
Everyone was exhausted, players and fans alike, just
people
because of everything
hurt,
that was going on. But yeah, I think
it's been a while since they've been in this spot. But they've been there before.
2020 is the right answer, though.
Yeah, they've been there before.
Mm-hmm.
they're also having, and it has been a bonus. Everyone's kind of been bringing it up here on the station. It has been a bit of a bonus that the division is terrible, that Tua gets hurt and Miami cannot recover from that. That the Jets, I mean, it went about as perfect as you could want if you're a Jets hater.
Yeah.
And then the Patriots, we all knew coming into this year, were rebuilding, trying to figure out what they actually have in Drake May or and even their coach.
They have gold in Drake May.
I think they do.
He is... I hope that they get all of their other moves wrong.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. You kind of got to hope now he's going to be Justin Herbert.
I don't want that because I do want, like, I like when, because lately we've had such bad rookie quarterbacks. Like, I'm sick of all of these guys coming in expecting to be great in the top, like, the top five quarterbacks over the past, like, 5 years. Every single time you have four of them bad and one of them good.
That's usually the statistics.
Well, I know, but I want it to change a little bit. It's getting a little annoying. Like just have a couple more be good for once. Like,
I'm all right with it.
Like, look at last year. It was CJ Stroud and nobody else. You know, like it was CJ Stroud and that's it. And that would probably change if Drake May was on any other team but the Patriots, right? Like if he was in the NFC, if he was on Seattle.
I want him so bad on Minnesota.
Ooh.
Because I wanted him out of the AFC, yeah. And I always kind of have a fondness for Minnesota because they've been like searching for a franchise quarterback since like the 60s with Fran Tarkington.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like I love Drake May. They've got Justin Jefferson. They've got Kevin O'Connell. That'd be perfect. I ultimately like J.J. McCarthy there. We'll see about him next year once he's healthy.
Yeah.
But that's where I want him. The last place I wanted him was New England because now I'm like, if it works, I'm in hell.
Yep.
Because I really, really liked him coming out of North Carolina. He's been one of my favorite draft prospects, maybe only surpassed by Fields.
Yeah.
Justin Fields, I think a lot of people do know I was a huge Justin Fields guy. But May is right there for me. And I'm like, oh, no. I don't like this.
Right.
And same with Fields. Fields went to Chicago, and I was like, oh, crap. Like, this could work. He could be, like, their first, like, good quarterback ever. Probably won't, and it didn't. And then with May, I'm like, oh, awesome. Now I have to, like, actively root against him. And, like, every cool highlight I see, I'm like, no, no, no.
But, again, if the Patriots...
So I was a big fan of when Gerard Mayo called his team soft.
I was going to see.
Big fan.
But if the Patriots screw this up, then you just have a great quarterback on a bad team. And he probably...
Justin Herbert, baby, let's go.
Probably leaves.
Justin Herbert, let's go. 803-0550, the number to call. The Bills are on the bye week. How are you spending it? Love to get your thoughts. Me and Josh will talk about ours as well here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We also have Pat Hammer joining us at 11:30. We had our first snow game last night. We'll get a look here at the weather in Buffalo and maybe even a preview a little bit to what the weather could be when San Francisco comes to town next week. Zach Jones, Josh Mint on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
He is a strong personality. He's the face of the franchise. But it doesn't mean that he's getting it done by himself. It means he's getting it done with partnership, with ownership and personnel. You can't say for 1 second that team is not 100% together. They are. And that was the same thing with me and Mike Tannenbaum and when I was with the Jets in ownership there. And yeah, I was the face of the franchise because of the position that I was in. And guess what? I had a vision for the team and we weren't going to take any shit. And that's exactly how Dan Campbell is. And that's why I think the other thing is too, get a guy that connects with the fan base and all that. That's why I want to be the next coach of the Jets. And that's what's going to get me. I don't care who the hell you put out there. Nobody's going to connect with this fan base the way I'm going to.
See how he says he's going to?
Oh, man.
Is Rex Ryan, that's Rex Ryan right there, by the way.
Oh, man.
Is Rex Ryan about to become the next head coach of the Jets?
He's campaigning hard. He's really campaigning. We just left election season. This is an elite campaign. I think he went into an ESPN radio show.
It was Barton Hahn.
And I mean, that man he's going after it. He's getting after it. I saw yesterday too with all of this when he left the Jets. I can't remember what reporter he was sitting down with, but he was talking about me and Woody Johnson are like brothers. We talk every day. And this was years ago. It was right after he gotten fired from the Jets. But I was like, oh, okay. All right. Okay. And he's campaigning hard.
Rex Ryan to be the walked Jets so coach. Rex Ryan walked so Dan Campbell could run.
Yeah, but Dan Campbell's better.
I know, but in terms of the vibes and the personality they bring.
Yeah.
They're very similar.
They're very similar. I wonder how Rex has grown up as a coach.
I want to find out. Put him in New York.
His first 2 years with the Jets were impressive.
Yeah.
Objectively. Those defenses were awesome. They were able to grind teams down. They seemed to be able to handle the Patriots in the playoffs when no one else really could. Two straight AFC championship games with rosters that really shouldn't – namely, a quarterback that should not have sniffed – a playoff win, let alone multiple in AFC championships in Mark Sanchez, and yet it happened.
He didn't.
I want to see him back there purely for the entertainment value.
I couldn't remember if he coached anywhere after Buffalo, but no, he did not.
No.
I didn't think so, but I was just curious. You know,
I feel he went to ESPN right after he got cut by Buffalo.
I think so.
I think so, but he's
or
only
maybe
like.
He waited a year and then he went to ESPN.
He's only come out. Like recently, as like a more normal host, I feel
it's within the last year or two.
Yeah, and because he did sign right with ESPN right after he left the Bills, and did the Super Bowl pregame and postgame show that year.
He's already tired of it, mainly because the Jets position opened up. He never wanted to leave the Jets. That's been well known. Like those are his guys. He came to the Bills because he wanted to still be a head coach, but he's a Jets guy.
Okay, so I'm reading more about it here. So after that Super Bowl, it was a one-game agreement, but with the possibility that he could continue with ESPN through the 2017 season.
Oh, there he is.
And then nothing happened, and then he comes back in 2022.
There you go.
Interesting. Anyway,
let's get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to the phones here as Mike is on the line. Mike, how are we doing today?
Good, guys. How are you?
Doing very well.
This may sound a little crazy, but my concern is Joe Brady. You know, I know that the Bills' offense has put up more than 30 points in 8 out of 11 games. But what happened in the middle of the season with Houston and Baltimore is starting to happen again with his predictability. In the last two games, 21 out of the 29 times that the Bills had a first and 10, Josh was put into a second and long situation because the first down run gained 3 yards or less. He's consistently, if you look at the Chiefs game, there were 12 first and 10s, 10 times he ran the ball, he ran the ball on first and 10 12 times. 10 of the 12 times were faced with a second and long. He continues to run the ball up the middle consistently. He's, for whatever reason, not figured out how to use backs as weapons out of the backfield. I mean, Cook last week, 7 yards on 6 targets, 5 catches, 7 yards. Yes, we've had a couple big plays on, you know, between Davis and Johnson for some long catches. But as a whole, when was the last time we had a screen game that worked?
Well, and I mean, right now.
I just find,
right now.
Pardon?
Right now we have one. Khalil Shakir.
I'm talking about a screen game to a running back.
I don't care. It's a screen game. It's a screen game.
Well, but we don't use our running backs.
Okay, that's fine. The receivers are fine.
Okay, so there is no problem. There is no predictability.
No, I didn't. I disagree with your screen point, Mike. The predictability, I think you're right on. The first down running on Kansas City was annoying, but they ultimately did go away from it in the second half to more play action. Allen threw his most passing attempts this past week. Now, to that point, though, you are right on the second and third and longs. They had to be near perfect on third downs. That I am worried about. I'd like them to get more quicker into the run game rather than these long developing run games.
Well, what you just said about the second half, it didn't change. Second half, there was runs of 2-1-1, 2-0, and minus 1 on 6 first and 10 situations in the second half. Okay? Gained a total of 5 yards. So it didn't change in the second half. Josh became better in the second half, and they did throw the ball a little more on first down. But my point is that we have some weapons coming out of the backfield. I mean, Cook, Davis is a great receiver, but we don't use these guys. And we've had number of games that, yes, we won last week. We got a lot of points. Josh played phenomenal, but we need to be put into better situations. These first and long, second long and third. I mean, how many times did he have an incompletion on first down and then we ran the ball on second down for 1, 0 or 2 yards? And it's like, I just don't understand why he can't let Josh be Josh more often.
Mike, thanks for the call. He is letting Josh be Josh. They want to set up a run game. They are a more balanced team. I don't like what they did against Kansas City. Kansas City is the third best run defense in the league. I didn't like that. But as you pointed out, in the second half, they only ran the ball, what, 6 times on first and 10? So they did go away from it.
Right.
I'm not saying it was perfect, and I do have my issues with Brady. But to like point out they don't have a screen game, so not using the running backs, I don't care. They have a screen game with Shakir that's working.
Yeah,
they're getting yards after catch.
It doesn't matter who you pass the ball to in a screen game. It matters if it works. I mean, there was a few times where it looked like it was going to work with Dalton Kincaid. They tried it, and it didn't really work. But it's the act of trying, because in the past few years since Allen has been their quarterback, they've never really tried to activate any sort of screen game. It's always just been, you know, other stuff. But that's partially because you have different weapons now. But the running backs, for the most part this season, have been fantastic. I mean, James Cook and Ray Davis have been great. But like you said, you're going up against the third best run defense in the NFL. That's not supposed to be your game plan. And he did switch away from it.
He did switch away from it. That was my only issue, is it kept being first down runs.
Yeah.
To Mike's point, that is correct. Mm-hmm. It was getting frustrating.
And it was getting predictable, because it doesn't make sense to keep trying that when you know you're going to get stopped. And then if you're Kansas City, it's just, oh, look, they're going to run it again. And we have a good run defense. Okay, cool. Never mind. Move on.
But ultimately, I think to let Josh continue to be Josh, then you're asking to never run the ball. They are still averaging just under 30 points per game. They are the first team in 38 games to put 30 points on the Chiefs. I have my issues. I'm not that worried about it. They are winning games. They're producing. Allen, again, for the first time this year, had 40 passing attempts. It's the most he's had all year.
These are
and
also
growing now that Amari Cooper's been on the team since then. So it's after the Jets game. Tennessee, 33 passing attempts. Seattle, 34. Miami, 39. Indianapolis, 37. And then Kansas City, 40. They are now throwing the ball more. With that all being said, on the run game, especially for me, and I know Sal's talked about it as well, I'd like quicker developing run games, not so many of the delayed. Let these fast running backs get the ball and go.
Mm-hmm.
Where that has been something I've been frustrated by throughout.
There's also something that's been positive with Brady as a coordinator. He's adapting, right? And that's something mm-hmm. we've seen the Bills do a lot in terms of either side of the ball, which that's the one positive, is he's not just sticking with it. He's not like Dorsey, where Dorsey would just, this is the game plan. If it doesn't work, we're going to keep trying it because it will work eventually. It's not how the NFL works, right? It isn't how it's supposed to go. But the fact that he's able to adapt and able to change makes me think that, you know, it might not happen this season, but in the off season, he's going to go look at his playbook, throw some stuff out, add some stuff in, and move on. And hopefully this whole fascination with running on first and 10 is going to be thrown out of the playbook, because personally, I don't think it should be a big part of the game. I'm not saying they shouldn't run the ball, but I'm also not saying they should run it the way they are.
Yeah, my first down run issues were against Kansas City were maybe my biggest issue. Mm-hmm. But up to this point for the Bills, yes, they are a top 10 unit right now in terms of running percentages on first down, but they're 8th at 38.43%. So it's not like it's happening a ton. It did happen a lot against Kansas City, but mm-hmm. up to this point this year, they're not even close to the highest. Philadelphia is in first at 47.6%. Arizona, 42.7%. Denver in third, 40%. They're down all the way at 8th and at 38%. I mean, they're not even really close to the top end. They just did it a lot, I think, against Kansas City. Now that they have a complement of wide receivers, they have shown they're throwing the ball more. Against Kansas City, they had a specific game plan. I didn't love it, but it was working. And they got it kind of – they got it to work enough to where they put up 30 points against a team that for 38 straight games hadn't allowed over 28. And so right. I will give them some credit to that. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here until 12 o'clock. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Bills on the bye week this weekend. You know what that means?
It's a weird feeling.
It's vacation. Not really. It's kind of cruddy out there. I'm not going to lie. It's rainy. We saw snow yesterday. It's not really giving off the vacation vibes, Josh. Not really.
Winter vacation.
Yeah, but winter vacation, it's always like, oh, we're going to the Bahamas. Like, we're not staying.
No, you're going outside, you're going sledding, you're building snowmen, you're coming inside and having a hot bowl of soup and hot cocoa and watching the Polar Express.
In all seriousness, how many snowmen have you actually made in your life?
Seven.
Have you really?
I don't know. Probably.
It's like, I think I tried once. I made one 2 years ago. Harder than I thought. I was like six.
I made one 2 years ago. I remember that one because it was recent. I haven't done one since then.
You got to make sure that the snow is right. That's the thing when it comes.
It's got to be like, the packing snow. Like you can't do it till January.
Where it just like you throw it up and
The powder.
The powder.
You got to wait till like late January, early February when it gets a little warmer, but it's still snowing a bunch.
Yeah, you're never gonna get the Christmas.
It's also good snowball snow. Last night, terrible snowball snow. I saw them throwing snow around. Looked awful.
Yeah, they're just kind of like piling up and then just tossing it. And just like goes into the wind. It looked kind of cool.
Hate it.
In terms of the bye week, did pose this question. You can always call in as well for this 803-0550, the number two call. How are you spending the Bills bye week? Brendan tweets in. Hate watching the Chiefs, but probably hitting up Tully's to get a multi-screen experience and relax.
That's fun.
I love it. That might be something I want to do because I don't love the game schedule on Sunday, but I might like want to go out and just like get the whole experience of like having 15 TVs, have a few drinks, some apps.
We don't really get to do that often.
No.
I mean, aside from the bye week, but I feel like, I don't know, I've just never...
Even when they play like Monday.
It goes back to the whole like feeling of exhaustion. The last few years have been so exhausting that during the bye week, I'm like, I just don't want it right now.
I actually need to not watch football.
This is also my bye week.
I am also very excited for the college schedule this weekend. Mm-hmm. The big game at noon is number 5 Indiana versus number 2 Ohio State.
Yeah.
Kurt Cignetti, what he has been able to do at Indiana in just his first year is awesome. It is one of the better rebuilding jobs in just sports in general. Then you also have BYU and Arizona State. Another one of the better rebuilding jobs in the sport is with Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State. They were a kind of nothing program. Now this year, 8-2, taking on 9-1 BYU, to the point where the and this is interesting too, because it's to the point the college football committee had BYU as the 5 seed, not even getting a bye week if they win the Big 12 championship. Boise State ahead of them. So Arizona State and Colorado are definitely up and coming there. Colorado taking on Kansas tomorrow at actually Arrowhead Stadium as well. That game's going to kick off at 3:30. That one's fun too. Colorado yesterday got Julian Lewis, a for the most part ranked 4-star quarterback. I think ESPN and Rivals had him ranked as a 5-star quarterback. I know ESPN had it on here. And just real quick on this, I do wonder if that is sort of a signal, as much of a signal as you're going to get, that Deion is planning on staying at Colorado.
Yeah.
I know we talked with Sal, and while Michael Irvin went on the herd, and you kind of have to wonder, Deion is likely his source. I wonder if just him going to the NFL makes sense. I don't think it really does all that much. Joe Klatt, he's a big college football guy for Fox Sports, also mentioned, too, with Colin Coward earlier this week, that Deion has a lot of religious convictions in terms of kind of where he is at in his life, and has talked about wanting to stay in college because he thinks, you know, kind of his purpose right now is to build up young men for the, you know, professionals, but also just being, you know, essentially citizens and stuff like that.
Right.
So I wonder if he really does want to stay at Colorado, because the last two jobs he has taken, it has been Jackson State, who couldn't win 5 games out in the SWAC. And by year 2 there, he's winning 11 and then 12 games, back-to-back SWAC championships. And then now Colorado, first year, after they only won 1 game in 2020, they win 4 last year. Everyone gave them a little hate, including me.
And me.
And then this year, they're at 8 games, and they've got Kansas. And then I believe on Black Friday, yes, on Black Friday, they will finish at home against Oklahoma State. Good chance they could be the other member in the Big 12 championship, potentially even in the playoffs. We'll see how that finishes up there. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show until 12 o'clock. Coming up at 11:30, we will get a look at the weather, though, this weekend. And also, I mean, the weather event game we had yesterday between Cleveland and Pittsburgh. Pat Hammer will join the show. And, of course, we're always taking your calls, 803-0550, the number two call. This is WGR.